Hey there, everybody. It's June, and you know what that means on the Bad Anime Podcast? Titties, basically. Yeah, we're going to talk about a different harem anime every single week this month. It's Harem Month. If you don't know what a harem anime is, it's when there's kind of a dude and he's surrounded by a bunch of waifus, essentially. So that it's going to be really silly. It damaged me a lot mentally this month, but I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for clicking on the show. Let us know what you think, and happy 4 weeks of Harem Month.
It's bad anime.
Hey there, everybody. I'm John.
Oh fuck, we're in. I'm Rob.
And this is Bad Anime, the show where we decide, is this anime bad? And you know why we're here. You absolutely know why we're here. This is our final, and let me reiterate that, final show, our final podcast of Harem Month. It is June 2022, and we have already watched 3 harem animes.
Yes,
and
we did.
We're now on to our absolute 4th and our final one. I am so sad that it's not our 5th, because it would work very well as a 5th. Because this show is called Quintessential Quintuplets. And Rob, I would like to know, before we get into it, I would like to know, because you suggested this to me.
I did.
How did you find this? Where did you find it? What happened to bring this show to you?
You see, it's kind of hard for me to actually recount where I found it per se, because my prime weebdom. It just started recently.
Your prime weebdom.
Yeah. So that's yes. Yeah, my huge weeb. Yeah. You know, That started probably in 2021, the spring.
Uh-huh.
And if I remember correctly, season 2 of this just aired in the winter of 2021. So
yes.
I think if I had to guess how I found this, it was just getting reintegrated in the community and getting my toes wet and looking for opinions of like what's new, what's kind of good, or it could have been easy as Crunchyroll recommending me something. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah, could be.
Mm-hmm. That's always, you know, a thing that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't remember exactly how I found it, but I just saw this thing, Quintessential Quintuplets, just came out. But it was season 2. I'm like, well, I can't watch season 2 of a show. I have to watch season 1 first. And you
and
know
did what? You when did you watch season 1? Was that like pretty recent, or was that for the show specifically, or was that a little before?
No. That was that would have been probably been spring or summer of 2021.
Oh, okay. So it was a good amount of time ago. That's good.
It was a good amount of time ago, but I'm very excited because I didn't do my usual research as I do beforehand. I didn't refresh myself mm-hmm. as much. I want to come into this one a little more raw because mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going to remember character names as we go, and I'm going to say, fuck this person, love this person, fuck this person. Mm-hmm. And the entire time I'm going to pull up the Wikipedia synopses. We still don't know. Per episode of season 1. So I just know like, what happened and what I'm, because the last thing I want to do is spoil it.
Yeah, I think, and you know, I recently finished this. I think maybe this past week.
There we go.
Before the show. So I have a pretty good idea of like what happens. But generally, I feel like we don't have to necessarily go episode by episode here. Because
perfect.
I feel like a lot of events happen in the show. And it's kind of like, it's not, I mean, I guess it is like sequential, like one after the other, but at the same time, there's no real big story arc until the very end of the season. So I feel like we can more so go by story arc and just characters throughout the whole thing and moments, because there's 12 episodes in the first season.
Yes, there is.
And there's a lot of content generally in those 12 episodes, because you got five girl siblings that you really have to unpack in every episode, and they make an effort to do that in every episode. So mm-hmm. I think we could just kind of approach this more as just a big general discussion about the whole show. And also, if we want to call out specific moments, we can call out specific moments, because that's what I feel like this show is for.
Right. You know, that's a very good way to approaching it. So In that case, I'm going to let you take the reins here, and I'm going to be the reactionary man. So start firing away.
Okay, well, the first thing I have to say is absolute justice for Miku. Miku is the best fucking character in this show, and she doesn't get half the shit she deserves, all right? That is first off, because, oh my god, I don't know if you remember, Rob, but Miku is the quiet one with the headphones.
I remember very well who Miku is. And
She likes a matcha soda cold, let me tell you. Cold, hard-pressed matcha soda, and she loves this man. She loves this man, Fusigi. And she cannot be destroyed by any of her siblings throughout the show, or I will be fucking pissed. That is number one. That's where we can start.
Just so you know, your opinion right now is akin to screaming in a hallway, "I love white bread." Everyone loves Miku. Miku's everyone's girl. I mean,
that's good
awesome.
To know.
Yeah,
it seems like everybody has, you know, some people love Wonder Bread. Everybody's got taste, yes, you know. Yes. And in this context, I also like the Wonder Bread. So I'm not saying like best girl or anything, but I'm saying
justice.
I want the best for this girl. She's best girl, but I want the best for this girl.
I want the best for this girl. Oh my god. All right, we're already starting off hot, so we should break down a little bit what the hell's going on. Because the plot of the show is surprisingly easy to sum up very quickly.
Yes, very easy.
We have a Futaro Usugi?
Futaro Usugi.
Yeah, Usugi. There we go. I remember that pretty well.
Yes.
He's our there dork. He's our dork. He likes to study. And that's pretty much all he does because he's a big loser. And the show reminds us quite a bit.
It does. And it's very funny that it does remind us that he's a loser, because all the time it's like, oh, he just studies. He doesn't do anything else. But the thing is, he's kind of a Chad about it.
That's the thing. He's so good at it where he just kind of like rubs his success in everyone's face. He doesn't do that. Like, he's just so successful and everyone just goes, well, fuck that guy. I hate him. But in the background, we're like, I mean, you can't really hate him because he's just a guy. He's just a kid who likes to study. But still, everyone fucking hates him. So
yeah, everybody hates him. And you know, he's a little confident, right? He's very confident about his abilities.
Right.
I feel like that could rub a lot of people the wrong way. So maybe that's the reason that he's just a little too conceited in that regard.
Yeah, it's weird because he isn't conceited, but he totally comes off as conceited.
Exactly.
So Futaro is like that very interesting dynamic throughout the show where he's just kind of socially awkward because he invested so much time into his academics more than the social aspect of high school. So
that's
So basically, he's just a weird kid.
Yeah, he's just kind of a weirdo, but he has a gift for being good at academics, which is why he is tapped by this group of girls and their father to be a tutor for these five girls, because they all collectively are very bad academically. But he finds this out after he meets the first girl, Yotsuba. Itsuki. Oh, does he meet Yotsuba first? I thought he met Itsuki first, because Itsuki is the one with the red hair and she like sits at a table with him because she's new.
He met Itsuki first, and then Yotsuba was actually the one to introduce herself afterwards.
Yes, because he left a really bad impression on her, because all these five girls just moved in to the neighborhood and they're new at the school, and Itsuki has red hair. They're a bit distinguishable. You know, the show alludes a lot of the time that they look exactly the same. Their hair is all wildly different, so I don't know how you can mix any of them up, to be honest.
Yeah, but I love how they play that up where like no one else can tell them apart. I kind of love that. I do.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. And then Itsuki sits next to Futaro at his lunch. Mm-hmm. And because he's not sitting with anybody, and she's like, oh, like, I'm the new kid. Like, maybe I'll, like, you know, talk to this guy who's alone.
Yeah.
And she asks him for help in our studies, and he says, absolutely not. No, thank you. I don't have time to help you. You're hopeless anyways. And he leaves. After that, he finds out, he also meets Yotsuba, who is like the peppier one of the group. And he finds out that he is supposed to tutor that girl, Itsuki, and her four sisters. which he really wants to do because this man that's asking him to tutor them is paying him a lot of money. And he needs that for a very wholesome reason because his family has a lot of debt, apparently.
His family is debt and they're broke.
Yeah, and they're broke. It's him, his younger sister, and their very young dad. They have a very young dad.
And I kind of love that dynamic where there's clearly a very young dad. I don't know why. Just in anime, when they do that, it always comes off way more wholesome than it should.
Because it does.
They very much play up his dad as like a guy. Excuse me. I'm having some Daisy Cutter Pale Ale, so I might fall into a bush. But they make it very clear that his dad is not inherently bad person, but he's a guy who has made some bad choices.
Yes, right.
And there's a very
exactly.
There's a very big difference between the two. And, you know, he's a guy trying to do right by his kids, but it doesn't always work out.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
So Fotaro here is like trying to put in the effort to make up for his dad's shortcomings and also teach some decent lessons to his younger sister.
Yes.
So it's a very wholesome reason for getting into the situation and putting up with the quintuplets, because we learned
there
it was a great scene where he realizes they're quintuplets and he's like, wait, she's there, but she's there and she's there. Oh my God.
It was very like early 2000s sitcom when
very
he just realizes
so.
Like, but if you're here, oh no. And he realizes there are five, which, you know, is shocking at first, but then he realizes that means the dad is paying him five times the rate because there are five girls.
Exactly.
Who are interestingly all failing in, but they're all failing in every class, but each of them is good at one subject and they're all different subjects.
Exactly. And that's the thing. They all have their different strengths. So he's realizing, okay, there's five subjects, five girls. I can make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because the show does a decent job of like tying those classes they excel at into their personalities.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
they
do.
You have Yumiko, who is the recluse and very shy, being the history buff, which is,
yeah,
you know, she likes her matcha soda.
And she loves warlords. That was another thing that came up. She just has a big affinity for Japanese warlords. And it's very funny.
That she does. And by the way, we meet more of the cast. And I believe the oldest one is the one with the, well, technically the oldest, quote unquote, but the one who was shot out first.
Yes.
It's five of them in one go. Oh my, it's seconds to minutes. But Ishika.
Yeah, that was no wonder their mother passed away. Jesus Christ. I mean, what a day that must have been.
Yeah, God bless that woman. But Ichika is the firstborn. She's the one with the short pink hair.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to save the community's response to this character for other episodes.
Oh, okay. I'm intrigued in that. But she's introduced to us as like a very like sleepy, like lazy, but well-intentioned character, it seems at first, that she's a bit more like sexual too than everybody else.
Because she does the modeling and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, she does modeling and she does acting and whatnot, and she's kind of looking for that career to take off. So she really doesn't care about school that much. But she's not like mean to Futuro as most of the other ones are. So she's just like kind of one of the nicer ones that is like with him most of the time.
Well, the very mean one is the secondborn, which is Nino. And she is...
Yes.
She hates Futuro. Futuro.
Oh, like, yeah.
Early on in the show, yeah. She's just, I mean, there's no other way to describe it. She's just kind of a bitch.
Yeah, she's just really mean to him for kind of no reason. Even though he wants to, like, make her study and make her be better at school, she just doesn't like him at all. And it kind of gets better throughout the show, but there's still this air of, like, I don't like this guy. And, like, I'm going to be mean to him. And, you know, there comes a time where she's like, oh, maybe he's not all that bad. And she's like, but he still sucks.
Yeah.
So she's always thinking that. And then, like, the other ones, we get Yotsubo, who we were talking about earlier, who's, like, kind of like the excited, happy one who is always ready to help Futuro and also anybody that asks her. And it's alluded to a lot in the show that she's a bit much in this regard,
in,
like, she can never say no to people. So I identified pretty much with that.
You do have big Yotsuba energy, I will say. Just through my
entire... B-Y-E, I have bye.
Bye. You have bi, you are bi, whatever you want to call it.
I have good bi. Fantastic.
Big Yotsuba energy. Oh my god. But no, then also she has orange hair, which again, I know you're a fan of the color orange. So
I'm a big fan of the color. She also has this green headband with little bunny ears that stand up anytime she gets excited, for even though they're not attached to her body. But I can appreciate it anyways.
It's one of those things, like, I didn't even respond when I first saw them. Like, yes, anime. I just accepted that. I accepted that very quickly as canon and moved on. And then we have Miku, who we mentioned. And then we have yes. And not Ichiko, we have Itsuki, who was the
Itsuki,
the red-haired woman with the stars in her hair, who is very interesting because she has no personality.
Yes, I completely agree. That was a good take, because she has, like, her only personality trait that comes across, at least in the entire first season, is that she's just kind of really awkward and doesn't know how to talk to people.
Exactly.
But, like, does it anyway? She's not very shy like Miku, but she is very, like, just, like, strange. Like, it's very hard to understand her a lot of the time.
She's honestly just super neutral with everything.
Yeah, very neutral. Which is why, like, hate to get into this now, but which is why I feel like, because she's, like, the first person that he met that, you know, there's always this thing you get to think throughout the show is, like, oh, who's Futaro going to end up with? Because he's going to pick one of the five, obviously.
Well, yeah, previewed it the entire time because, again, I didn't say this yet. The title in Japanese is actually, I'm going to go with the translation. The title in Japanese is Five Equal Brides. And the show begins, and is it Futaro or Fotaro? I mean, I think it's Futaro, maybe?
I think it's Futaro, yeah.
It is, I'm scrolling through Wikipedia. Yeah, Futaro, yeah. It shows Futaro with one of the girls, but the girl's face is obscured. So the entire show is basically baiting you into thinking which one he's going to choose, because they very clearly show he's going to choose one of them.
Exactly. And it kind of goes into backstory later about how he carries around this notebook that has a photo of him as a child, and he was weirdly blonde as a child, but he was blonde as a child. And the second half of the photo is one of the quintuplets.
Girls. Yes.
So you're like, okay, so he has, like, a history with one of them, and he, like, wants to meet this girl over again, but he doesn't know that this girl is one of the quintuplets, even though, like, it kind of, that doesn't track, but he is said to marry one of them.
Yes, it seems. And I this must be season two. Why he's blonde is kind of implied in the first season, but they don't give, but unfortunately, to understand why he is blonde, that requires, like, it's the, we can actually relate to this because earlier in the month we talked about my first girlfriend as a gal. So
yes,
a big thing, because in the first season they mentioned Futaro is a kind of a delinquent past. They kind of mentioned that, right. they gloss over it, because when you see the pictures of him as a kid, he has the blonde hair and the earring.
Yeah, that's right.
So basically, meaning he was a middle school kid. Like, you know how middle schoolers always try to look like their idols but never pull it off.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Absolutely.
So Futaro was trying to go full, like, kind of gato in a way, just like rejecting Japanese beauty standards with the pierced ear and, like, the blonde hair. He was trying to be that rebel. So, like, he was a delinquent, not good at studies. That's what they kind of implied throughout the first season. And then he folded the photo open and it shows one of the quintuplets. Like,
right.
Oh no, because this is anime, is he gonna wind up with whoever the fuck the first one is?
And that was my first thought. I was like, oh, that sucks, because she has no personality. And I saw her immediately and I was like, oh, he's probably gonna end up with this one. But as the series went on, like, his interactions with all of them differs, and I feel like he gets off pretty much the first half of the season is him trying to get in the good graces of each one of them so that they will come to his study sessions, so that he can have them all pass their exams, so that their dad doesn't fire him. Because if he fails to pass their exams, they don't pass any of their exams, the dad is going to let him go as a tutor. And he needs that money for his sister and his dad and their debt, right?
He needs that money bad.
So he's working very hard to get on their good sides, and it kind of gets to a lot of interesting places with this, because he wants to like get on their good sides to make them study. And by getting on all their good sides, each one of them starts to kind of fall in love with him in some sort of way,
yes,
as they would in this kind of show. But the thing with Futaro that I find fascinating mm-hmm. is that he is probably, at least this month, in the four shows that we watched, the only like of age, like high school student boy that isn't just an outright perv. And it's very interesting. And he has no thoughts about that whatsoever throughout the entire show, essentially.
And I love how the show goes on. I'm trying to remember like season one versus season two here, but I'm going to say a very general statement. The show does everything it can. It does everything it can to make sure they never present Futaro in a very overly positive light. They really emphasize his setbacks. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's physically weak. He's kind of an asshole to everybody. He's awkward. And that's why I find him so compelling as a harem protagonist, because he's not a perfect person. Because unfortunately, in a couple shows we watched this month, I mean, High School DxD in particular, Issei's only character flaw is he's a perv.
Like, that's his only problem.
Yeah, and it's funny, we can go back a little bit, well before Horror Month, but Chivalry of a Failed Knight, I mean, whatever the fuck his name was, a flawed character because he was uninteresting and a pussy. So, it wasn't a harem, but it might as well have been.
You're right. It might as well have been, technically, with what we got. Oh my God.
With what we got, yes. But no, that's why I love Futaro, because he's a character in and of himself. He's a unique character to have mm-hmm. in the middle of this harem situation. And it resonates, though, because as the show goes on, everyone starts to develop some feeling for him. But luckily, it works in the show's favor here, because all their feelings for him are tied to their individual personalities.
Yes.
So no one's really falling for him for the same reason, which I really like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I also thought was different about this one was that there are, of course, like times where he finds himself in like sexually compromising positions with each one of them.
Right.
But they're much more few and far between, you know, and he's also like not into that. So he's at the same time, he's like, what is this? Why is this happening? Like, I think he like runs into Nino and she's naked or like in a towel and they fall together and it's like completely accidental.
Yes.
And she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm sorry. I really didn't want this either. I don't want that.
Yes.
it's just very interesting how he throughout the show like just clearly only wants this money, but then I think by the end you're kind of led to believe that he cares about them too, but it takes a lot longer for that to happen than it usually does, which is very interesting.
Yeah, it takes a lot longer, and again, for a harem show like this to really not emphasize the sexual aspect, to lean more into like the interpersonal dynamics and the romantic aspect, that's super unique. Because
it is.
On the opposite end of the extreme, where we watched Mother of the Goddess Dormitory this month.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Did we ever
Mother? Which was a bunch of just titties flopping the entire show. So a very, very different type of extreme. So
very different.
In this regard, in the harem genre, in generally speaking, this is a very refreshing take on the genre.
It is. And I felt like throughout they had some different points as well, because like there was, as I said, like the beginning half of the series or the season is like him trying these interesting harebrained schemes in order to get everybody to study.
Right.
And one of those schemes, like to talk specifics, is that he enlists Yotsuba's help most of the time because she's like always willing to lend a hand.
Right.
And he's like, he tells Yotsuba like, oh, hey, he's like, laying on the ground one morning in their apartment because he stayed over the night and whatnot to help them study for midterms. And he's laying there and Nino and Itsuki are about to leave. And he's like, Yotsuba, you can't let Nino and Itsuki leave. They have to study for their midterms. They can't go. And Yotsuba's like, no problem. That sounds good. And she runs up to them and she's like, guys, you can't leave yet. And they're like, why? And she's like, oh my God, because if you leave, because Futaro's really sick, and if he moves, he'll die. And they're all like, what? And then And then she like hands Futaro some ketchup in that scene. And Futaro like coughs and he's like, oh no, it's okay, I'm fine. He like moves and he's like, oh God. And he coughs ketchup into his hand and they're all like, oh no, he will die if he moves. That's crazy. And for like the first half of the episode, they're like taking care of him, like making food for him. Yeah. And he's like, well, I guess it's time to study. And he like stands up to get his books and they're like, yo, bro, you ain't dead. And he's like, oh, yeah.
Oops.
So just like little things like that happen throughout the show. And it's very clear from early on that also like Miku really likes him specifically. And then Ichika starts getting closer to him, who's like the older one. Yeah. And they're kind of like, they don't ever like fight about it, but they're always kind of like in a bit of a kerfuffle over it. And Miku's like, oh, I don't know, like whatever he wants. And I'm not sure if I want him. And I got to be realistic with myself and actually say what I want, you know, right, and things right. like that. So it's a good back and forth. But yeah, there are some odd back and forths throughout the show. And also in one specific episode, just for another specific here, just to show kind of the range of this, because he, there's like a fireworks celebration and they yes. all every year like go see the fireworks with their mom who's been dead for some time. It seems.
Totes dead.
So
yeah.
Totes like dead as heck. So they decide, all right, well, we got to go to this every year just as sisters, right? And this year comes around and they're all in different directions. They're all doing different things. Mm-hmm. And it's all up to Futaro to kind of unite them for this event. But mm-hmm. And then that's when you start to wonder like, oh, he actually kind of likes them because this isn't part of the tutorage. This is a different thing.
Yeah, and then that moment you get the inclination like where it's like, wait a minute. He cares about them. But I love the note where it ends on kind of where it's like, but how much?
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. Like, I mean, you never really get an answer so far.
Well, because, like, you know, because as someone who was, I had a number of tutors growing up, not too many, but a few, especially in my earlier academic years.
Yeah.
And getting, like, super buddy-buddy with your tutors, like, that happens. Even becoming, like, legitimate friends where someone's tutoring
yeah,
you.
True.
And then you become legitimate friends. So I just love that. I can relate to that with Futaro in a different sense, obviously, where he's going, mm-hmm. wait, this isn't just someone I'm tutoring, but what are they?
Right. Like, what are they to me? And I think that's something that they try to navigate. Like, is he our friend? Like, is he our teacher? Like, what area does he occupy?
Or is he our daddy?
Ooh, probably that one. Because, all right, and
Futaro's daddy.
Futaro's daddy. That's right, Futaro. Give me that academic daddy. Acadaddy.
Acadies.
That's our boy.
Academic daddies. Academic daddies. We only let in smart daddies.
New stable. Only smart daddy. Smart daddies only. Only smarties. Only people that enjoy the candy smarties are allowed in this daddy group, all right? That's the rules. Them's the rules.
What are we advocating right now?
So, to skip to the kind of end of sure. the season. So, they go on this big field trip, right? It's like a school field trip. Obviously, there needs to be some kind of fucking beach episode arc. But there needs to be some kind of like...
Wow, that was some fire school. Behind that.
But this is a school trip and they go out to a camp or whatever.
Right.
And, obviously, at this camp, there is the big main event is going to be this giant fire that they light. And they say, if you're holding hands with the person that you like and dancing around the campfire, that means you'll be with them forever.
And you see, the first time I mentioned this, we have to go back when we watched School Days. Because I listened to that episode and I mentioned the most recent anime I could think of to do this cliche was Quintessential Quintuplets. So I've basically been leaving the breadcrumb trail for this show since the very fucking beginning of this podcast.
Since the beginning. And we finally got here. And let me just say that every time we watch an episode or a show that involves school of some kind, my School Days PTSD fires right up. And in this specific scenario, it was firing on all cylinders because I was like,
were you waiting for Futaro to get stabbed?
Yes, I was waiting for him to get stabbed in his sleep in that little infirmary at the camp, because he gets sick and he's not able to make the fire. And instead, because they all wanted to dance with him at the fire, and, you know, it was like a whole thing. And instead, which is a device that I actually enjoyed, they comfort him in his hospital bed.
That they did.
Because he's very sick. And instead of all grabbing his hand during the fire, they all grabbed a single finger on his hand, so that there are five fingers on his hand, and each one of them got one of them, mm-hmm. which means that they will all be with Futaro forever.
But the thing is, we know that's not going to happen, because they very much showed in the beginning of the series he's going to get with one of them. So now, as a viewer, the entire time we're supposed to be thinking, which one is it?
And at the end, too, they also do a shot of him getting married to this person. Yes. And they show her face and everything. But it's so funny, because they show the face, and I'm like, I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, because they're all supposed to be identical quintuplets, so, but the hair's different. So once the hair is obscured and everything else is taken off, you don't know who it is.
Because I was left at the end of the season wondering. I was like, am I just stupid? Did I not understand that I have no idea who this one is?
That was the point.
All right, good. So everybody doesn't know who it is.
Yes.
Interesting.
And actually, I can give you a little insight now, because here's a funny part, Bouncy. Mm. We're releasing this episode in June of 2022, but in May of 2022, the movie is coming out. Because there's a movie. So Quintessential Quintuplets is two seasons and a movie.
Wow.
And in the movie,
wow,
they reveal who wins in the movie. So by the time this episode comes out, the winner will be known.
Wow. That is exciting. Maybe we'll throw that in like a Friday episode at some point.
Oh, I would absolutely love to.
Get thoughts, you know, just to get our round thoughts, because well, speaking of thoughts, we can get into this right now. Like, thoughts on the series in total, just at the first season. But
sure.
Did you think this anime was bad?
No, not at all. No, not at all.
Okay.
No, it wasn't bad at all. It was. Here's the thing. I'm coming in this interesting perspective, because I watched season one and two basically back to back. Season one, and what I, as we're talking about it, I'm reading through the plot synopsis and remembering what's happening. Season one was unfortunately the less interesting of the two seasons.
Oh, really? Less interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Season two kind of picked up a little bit, you know, with a few very choice moments, but season one kept my interest enough to get me to season two. I watched another 12 episodes. And it wasn't the ironic, oh, let's see how fucking bad this is. No, it was, I want to see where this story goes. I want to see where these characters go.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
No, it wasn't bad for me. Has my opinion of the series maybe depreciated with time? Yes, because when I first watched it, I was really into it. And this should be a good point to mention. Bouncy, did you watch the sub or the dub for this?
I watched the dub, actually.
I watched the sub. So our experiences are a little different. It's the same story, but the original Japanese was super duper charming. And because this was still a time where I had, you know, since now the merger happened between Crunchyroll and Funimation, so it doesn't matter anymore. But I watched this on Crunchyroll before I had a Funimation account, so my only option was to watch the sub, and it might have played a little better into my experience. Mm. I don't know. This is why I told you to watch whichever one you wanted.
Because that's right.
Because only once or twice did like the sub like become super culturally relevant, you know, basically, any cultural discrepancies could have been explained by like one or two lines of dialogue in the dub, and I thought it'd be fine. But we have kind of different experiences of the same show here, which is very interesting. This is our first time really doing this.
Oh, gotcha, frozen. I'm gonna keep recording.
All right,
I'm gonna leave the meeting, and I'm gonna come back in.
Oh my God, I'm going to keep recording the entire way. This is a disaster. Oh no. Oh my goodness. We were having such an intellectual conversation about quintessential quintuplets. I'm going to keep rambling until things get figured out. And in the meantime, here's a Daisy Cutter Pale Ale. Bouncy, I'm so sorry. You have to edit this later. This is going to be a very annoying task.
I'm back, and I'm still recording. I don't know what happened. My Wi-Fi dicked out, I think, for a second.
Yeah, that's weird, but it happens.
Yeah, it happens. Sorry, you were saying, I believe you were saying something regarding, I don't remember.
Well, the thing is, you don't know what I was doing in the meantime. I could have went on a very racist rant, and you don't know what I just did right now.
This is the technical difficulty section of the episode. I think it's going quite well.
Well, it's funny. This is the first episode via Zoom we had any technical difficulties. This is so funny. You know,
literally the only one. So exactly. It was bound to happen at any instance. But
very much so. But yes, I the people at home can hear what I said while you were gone. Please in court include most of it. Some of it was just dead silence and me just sipping on Daisy Cutter. So it's not that interesting.
Very good. Very good. I'm excited to publish your racist rant for all of our supporters to hear.
It's so funny because now we're totally cock teasing where people go back, where's the racism? It's like, I just talked about how I like Daisy Cutter boys.
Made you look. Now unsubscribe, you racist.
I think we're doing a service anyway.
I think so too. But continue your final thoughts on quintessential.
A final thought on quintessential quintuplets. Season one for me, it laid enough of the hook because of the five female leads being so inherently different from each other, and there was a couple who were underdeveloped. But I had a feeling like if I just keep watching, they'll get fleshed out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I was mostly met on that front.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So I can't say it was bad at all because I watched season two and I'm legitimately excited for the movie.
Wow. That is incredible. I have a confession.
Yes.
I started season two.
You did?
Yes.
You did not tell me this. This is exciting.
I did. I'm only like the first episode in really at this point, but I was sitting around today before the show and I was like, man, what should I do right now? And I was like, man, I really want to watch season two of Quintessential Quintuplets. Because you know why, Rob? Because you know why? It was great. I genuinely really liked it, and is the first time, especially in harem month, that's the first time this happened.
Yeah, no, this is definitely
Damn it, my Wi-Fi went out. Oh, come on! At this beautiful moment,
wow,
we were all having a great time.
We're almost home free. Oh God! My all right, God.
I'm gonna have to reboot this son of a bitch. Oh my God! All right.
It's bad.
To reiterate,
this episode is going to be a mess for you to edit. Oh my God.
Oh, it's going to be a mess. It'll be all right. I'll figure it out. But to reiterate, I started season two, just the first episode, and I thought this show was great. I thought it was very well done. I thought it was probably my favorite harem anime, or if you can even call it that, but like harem anime that we watched this month. Because because it just had, I don't know, the characters had something to them, you know? Yeah. The situation had something to it. The guy that was the main character wasn't this like pervy, like comedic, like forte of a character. He was this kind of like new thing that I never experienced in a kind of like multi-girl kind of show. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated it for that. I thought it was fun. Right. And I also want to stick around to see who he ends up picking and who becomes the final girl in the show. Because each of the characters, besides Itsuki, had their own kind of flair to them. Yeah. And I love that about each of them. And I just want the best for Miku. And I mainly just started season two because I was like, I just hope she gets everything that she wants ever. And that's all that I want. So in total, I got way more into the show than I think I should have. And I thought it was great. I enjoyed myself thoroughly. It was really fun. That's all I gotta say. It was genuinely enjoyable.
Wow, just the pure joy radiating off your face is wildly, it's captivating in a way, I guess I could say. Just to see you take this weeb path with me and all the other dirty weebs down here. No, season one was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I feel bad ragging on a little bit because season two, things pick up.
Interesting. All right, yes, that's good.
So, yeah, keep going with season two. You're going to enjoy it. And
I'll keep going. I from the first episode, I noticed the animation changed slightly. And also, the main character, Fusugi, has now... Usugi is his last name, has now yellow eyes. That's very interesting.
Oh, did he? I never noticed that.
Yes, he made a switch from blue to yellow. It was very weird, but I'm sure there's an explanation on it. I think it's because the original source material had him as having yellow eyes, but yeah, they just didn't care for season one or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was. But yeah, in that case, keep watching season two, and I have a proposition for you.
Oh, what's the proposition?
How about when the movie releases in May, we'll watch it, and then maybe sometime in July, we'll release a bonus episode where we just discuss the ending and who he ends up with.
I'm very down for that.
Because,
absolutely.
Because, spoiler, I read ahead. I read the end of the manga, so I know who he ends up with.
Oh, my God.
But I'm not telling you.
Don't tell me. Don't never speak a word, Robert, to me. I want those lips sealed. I will not ask you. I will watch it together, and you will get my intense raw reaction at that time.
Exactly, and that's all I'm doing. Call me the Go-Go's because my lips are sealed. But yes, now wow. I'm so glad we both enjoyed season one. I hope you enjoyed season two as much as I did. And
yes,
and we'll reconvene once the movie comes out. And I can't freaking wait. And what a fun conclusion to Harem Month.
Right?
A very positive ending to Harem Month.
Right. Thanks for joining us on this 4-week journey of four different harem animes, and I hope you had as much fun as we did, or are as mentally scarred as we are. In some cases, who knows?
Only some of them were scarring.
Only yes. If we have to pinpoint it, maybe just one of them.
Yeah. Maybe one.
But we'll leave that to your imagination, folks. But thanks for watching. Happy Harem Month. Enjoy your July. We'll have a bonus episode coming for you real soon for a July, for a June roundup. So until then, y'all, we'll catch you later.
See ya.
Boobies everywhere.
It's bad.
Wow. Oh, my God. What a rousing podcast of anime conversation. Am I right, my compares? Am I right, my weebdom? Anywho, you can send us a message if you want. Did you like this podcast? Did you hate this podcast? Do you want to kill me? Do you want to drench me in Kalaxosaur blood and watch me drink it? That's fine. Just send us an email at badanimepod@gmail.com or DM us on our Instagram at badanimepod, all one word. You can also find us on YouTube as badanime, and you can leave a comment on whatever video you want to leave a comment on. We'll read them all anyways. We don't care. I love you. Kiss, kiss.
In your ear. Podcast Network.